Hi, folks. Welcome to Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Unfortunate topic that we're feeling rushed to record in the middle of the night with rumors coming out about a possible Chuck Clark trade. Joining me today to talk about this is Coach DC. Coach, how you doing? You know him as All 22 Cuts on Twitter.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it. Even though, like you said, it is an unfortunate topic.
Yeah, neither of us wants to see this come to fruition, I don't think, or certainly not without the proper value involved. Let's talk about what the Ravens have already with Chuck Clark here. And sad to see an opportunity for, you know, a lot more dime snaps, potentially quarter snaps, big nickel snaps, when the Ravens do not have a great supply of quality inside linebackers, and certainly from a coverage perspective.
No, I agree. I mean, he's obviously very versatile. On my channel, I've documented some of the issues in terms of eye discipline, but overall, a huge net positive to have Chuck Clark on the field. And when you package him together with Marlon Humphrey again, Marcus Peters, Williams, and then also Kyle Hamilton, and I haven't even mentioned, you know, obviously Brandon Stevens. We've got a great coverage OLB and Tyus Bowser when he does return. And if you ask him to cover to curl flat or something in a zone drop, there's so much versatility there when you have Chuck Clark on the field. And he has a lot of experience. He's played so many snaps against so many different teams that he's seen a lot. You know, there's a cumulative effect, you know.
He's definitely moved around a lot. I mean, in 2019, I often make the point, he had the greatest dime year ever by any Raven. And that's saying a lot, because the Ravens have had an incredible quality set of dimes. They've always believed in rotating at that weak side linebacker spot, or almost always believed in rotating in a dime back at that spot. They had a dry spell during the Dean Pease era. But Corey Harris, Chad Williams were great dime backs. Anthony Levine in 2018. And, you know, they had guys in between like Nakamura who were effective. I'm forgetting some names here. Ralph Staten, if you go back far enough. It's been a great run of dime backs. And Clark is the best of them all. And he did it in 2019 when they played the most snaps of dime they ever played.
Yeah, there's so many things. He fits. He does fit with our current inside linebacker structure, because, and I'm a huge Josh Bynes fan, but I have to admit that on third downs, you know, he's going to be off the field a lot. And we have to admit it as well that, you know, there are some coverage issues sometimes with Patrick Queen. So having, having, you know, Clark, the ability to step into the box in 2019, which you're referencing, I like to call it a 5-1. Some people call it a 3-3, whatever you want to call it. You know, him walking into the box allowed us to play that dime look with him at inside backer, which is what, you know, it's what you're calling it. Terminology wise, maybe a little different for me, but he gave you the versatility. He can play man on running backs, can play man on tight ends. Unfortunately, it seems like how well Brandon Stevens played last year in stretches in that role has kind of maybe shown the Ravens, hey, we can move on from Chuck Clark because we have a guy, you know, who can do some of that. And I think that's kind of gone unmentioned so far. We're talking about who they're going to trade for. We're talking about the other safeties that we have. Brandon Stevens showed last year he can step in and play the box. That guy made plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage too.
Stevens has some qualities as a downhill player. I'm not enamored with him as a coverage player, and he didn't have a good year in terms certainly of opposing passer rating. When
not against receivers at all, no. Yeah.
But I honestly believe that the deal with Brandon Stevens, and we'll refocus on Chuck Clark in just a second, but we love organic tangents here. The issue with Stevens is finding him one position and letting him play there. So if you want him to play slot corner, that's fine. That might be his position. If you want to play outside corner, he's certainly got the size for it. I think he's got the speed for it. Certainly he's got the size to play press man. So the question is, you know, is that really where you want him? And he moved around so much at SMU. Let's find him one spot and not screw with him in a way that messes him up the way it seems to have happened with Patrick Queen. It definitely happened with Michael Orr in the past and others we can think of.
He was in so many spots last year. You're hitting on, you know, an issue that I mentioned in a video I did on Brandon Stevens maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, that he was asked to do so many things. And it's going to be interesting if we get, you know, a guy like Bradbury in return. I'm not trying to, you know, jump the gun here on you, but if we get a guy like Bradbury in return, well, now Marlon might be moving inside. So it doesn't really, from one standpoint, it may not really help Brandon Stevens get on the field a whole lot more, you know, in that role as a slot guy. You know, he may be on the field as a two high safety guy. And I said this in the video. I thought the further that Brandon Stevens moved away from the line of scrimmage, the less effective he was in coverage.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I don't like that. I much prefer Geno Stone to play the back end half field role, or even the back end occasional single high or rotating robber looks down into the box. I much prefer that for Stone than I do for Stevens, honestly. And I, the other guy who's not mentioned in this is Tony Jefferson, because Jefferson certainly has the size and physicality. You know, obviously came to the Ravens years ago with an incredible reputation as a run defender, but he can step in right for your Mike linebacker. Yep. And if you're really concerned about the opponent running on third and four, Jefferson is a significant deterrent to that. Yep. So, you know, you have a good amount of third and medium downs where he can really help you in that short zone. And it can also help make sure the quarterback doesn't get away and a whole bunch of other things. So I like what Tony Jefferson could bring to this team. This team is just it's very rich with safeties right now.
Yes.
I kind of consider Ardarius Washington a slot corner at this point and not a safety.
He's solid.
And, yeah.
I mean, there's so many options. You know, sorry to interrupt you. As a Ravens fan, like, no one will be enamored with getting rid of Chuck Clark early. Mm-hmm. Guy's he's a classy guy, you know, undrafted or sixth round pick. Which one was it?
Sixth
round pick. So, you know, you have a story of a guy who succeeds when, you know, he wasn't expected to by so many experts. And even the Ravens, obviously, we passed on him at least five times to pick him in the sixth. Mm-hmm. But even still, someone who's made a success story of it out of his career, hopefully generated, you know, generational wealth for his family. We don't want to get rid of that guy. Having said that, we have no bad option in terms of the DB group here. We really don't. We keep Chuck Clark. We've got versatility, you know, across the board with everyone. To me, it's possible the Ravens are saying we're a little I don't want to say deficient at corner, but we don't have as much depth at corner as it may appear. Yeah, we just drafted two good guys. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I like both of those guys. But Bradbury's a proven guy, and we may be saying we'd like to tag him along with Peters and Humphrey. And have another strong slot corner going, you know, kind of co-signing what you said a couple of minutes ago about Brandon Stevens maybe not being your best option as a slot cover corner, especially against receivers. I think he does well against tight ends, well enough. But even in the Steelers game last year up in Pittsburgh, it showed covering receivers in the slot, we had some issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options for who can cover the slot, because Kyle Hamilton will be a fantastic slot coverage option in terms of tight end. So other team goes to 12 personnel, put Clark on the back end as it stands right now, of course. Mm-hmm. You can also have Clark in the box. The other thing I love about Kyle Hamilton on the back end is it gives you the good type of safety versatility. So safety versatility, normally when it's talked about to me, is kind of a BS way to say we've got a bunch of strong safeties and no free safety.
Right.
But this team now has a free safety certifiably in Marcus Williams, and they have another free safety.
Yep.
And that's the good kind of versatility.
Yeah, I like – and that's the – you said you watched one of the Twitter breakdowns I did on Hamilton. It's so difficult to try to package some of those into like a little two-minute video, because there's so many – such a varied group of or varied amount of skills that he demonstrates. It's like you've got to aggregate them into, okay, let me talk about this skill for 2 minutes. And one of them that he can certainly do is play middle of the field free safety. You know, were there some routes, some times where I saw Hamilton take the bait, you know, and take an 18-yard route and then leave over the top. Well, Cincinnati almost hit him. Of course, Notre Dame lost that game to Cincinnati. Cincinnati almost hit him with like a 50-yard touchdown pass. It was dropped in the end zone. Great coverage by the corner, but Hamilton essentially jumped an underneath route. Is he going to do that? Well, yeah, absolutely he is. Like, what is he, 22 years old? He's going to do that, you know?
I still will take it, because playing your reads generally as a free safety is exactly how you overcome speed deficiencies. And he plays much faster than his 40 time. What it is, I mean, you know, the interception against Florida State where he ran all the way across the field to make that play is like, that is like Ed Reed against Peyton Manning.
Yes,
literally in terms of taking the wrong path and then going back the right way. He didn't actually do that, but he made the read from so far away that it was
unreal.
It was
Did you see the I think it was a fourth and one, and Florida State lined up in, I guess it would be like 12 personnel, something like that. It was a condensed formation. Everybody was in tight, and Hamilton is the safety to the field side. Now, he's lined up like stacked over the tackle at like 8 yards, but he's clearly reading the back The back is to the field, and they run the back
almost
out.
Almost like a goal line play,
yes,
it looked like.
And Hamilton, the safety from the other side of the field, is able to get there and impact the running back as the ball arrives. Ball pops in the, up in the air. Someone else intercepts it. As impressive as that interception you were mentioning was, and it certainly was, and other people way better than me at Breaking Nail Film have documented it, but that one caught my eye because it was like, wow, he recognizes the situation. It's 4th and 1. They're probably not going deep here. I'm reading the back. From the other side of the field, I'm going to impact the play into the flats to the boundary. That was amazing. So, you know, having that guy and Marcus Williams here, yeah, it might be one of the hands that pushes Chuck Clark out the door, unfortunately.
Well, he certainly makes a number of outrageous plays, and I hesitate to call anybody Ed Reed, but he's going to have that kind of can impact a run, a short pass, a long pass, a robbing in the box. He could impact a whole bunch of different plays. You know, another thing I think we're going to see from Hamilton is great second man to the ball skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen a little bit of that in college. I think we could see a lot more. And he could both be a creator as the first man for a guy who's second to the ball or be second man. So all those things. Let's go back to Chuck Clark for a minute, because where we're really trying to get at here. And Chuck, certainly we talked a little bit about what a great career he had here. And certainly he's got the green dot now. It's exactly where the Ravens want the green dot. Mm-hmm. They do not want it at another position, in my opinion, with the current personnel, because they're inside linebackers. They want the versatility to get them off the field.
Yep. Yeah, there's going to be times where if it was – and I don't understand the structure. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, can you have it on a guy who's going to be off on third downs? I don't think you can, right?
No. You have to green dot is absolutely – it can only be held by 4 positions effectively.
Right.
And I know you know this, but we've got to tell the folks who are on the call with us. So there's – the weak side linebacker can have it if he's on the field all day. The Mike can have it or either your 2 safeties. You can't have an outside linebacker, defensive lineman, or a corner for positioning purposes have it. So it has to be one of those 4. And the Ravens have finally found the magic formula after years of always having it at Mike. They finally found the magic formula that, hey, we can replace our inside linebackers as
with a safety, right?
With a safety. If you and have none on the field for some plays, which they've done. And they had certainly had the opportunity to do more of it with the huge core of safeties they have this year.
Unreal.
Yeah. 4 safeties on and no inside linebackers on.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a way they move the green dot from there. So I think my guess is Hamilton is the obvious choice for the green dot. If he
could be. Could be, yeah. It's gonna be tough if you know to have a guy like Marcus Williams is gonna be playing middle of the field free safety. I think that will be just too difficult to do. You know, I don't know who the other option is. Brandon Stevens not gonna be on enough. I mean, you know, if they were gonna play, I have seen Mike McDonald play base defense when they played Michigan State. You know, and we're just talking about Mike McDonald's defense now. Of course, he's only bringing 1 player with him. I guess 2, number 12, the undrafted free agent inside linebacker. Forget his last name, Josh something. He's there in camp right now too. But I saw him against Michigan State play base defense a lot against 12 personnel, and then when he got 11 personnel. I mean, he was in base defense some, but in the NFL, obviously, you're going to be in your nickel.
Nickel always, yeah.
You could see McDonald be in the nickel a lot, and that's what the Cleveland Browns do. And the Bengals spend a lot of time in nickel as well. And if you have a plethora of safeties, and if Bradbury comes on, let's say Chuck Clark's calling, and Bradbury comes on, Marlon moves inside, you know, I don't know where Hamilton plays. Everywhere?
Well,
I guess.
The point of clarification would be if you're facing 12 – then you can go with a big nickel because you can certainly have 3 safeties on the field, a safety opposite the flex tight end. What usually would be a flex tight end. Usually when 12 personnel, it's not 2 inline guys, it can be. If you have 11 personnel, almost no team currently would put 3 safeties on the field and 2 corners. But the Ravens, if faced with a larger kind of a slower slot receiver or even a larger, slower outside receiver. You know, Kelvin Benjamin, what he was a few years ago.
For Cincinnati.
I guess he's a little slower. So I still think he's got some quickness at the top of the route that I wouldn't be too happy about facing. But Hamilton could face him in the slot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you could do things like that. You could even face Clark, have him, or go to his own defense. This team is made. Oh my God, are they set up to play cover 3 defense? Very good zone traits, and having Hamilton underneath in zone, I think is going to be very effective for the Ravens. Having Hamilton over the top would be great too.
He's instinctive. You know, he, and like you said a couple of minutes ago, he's, you know, the 4-6 thing Now that you're in camp, that's out. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. He's got a burst, and when and he recognizes things well. I contend that he looks in the backfield too often, but you know he will be that will be coached out of him. All young players do that, and he's got a bad habit in man-to-man defense. Honestly, of you know looking back at the quarterback when he should be trying to stay in phase with the he's already in phase. Great coverage with the receiver, and then his head will look back at the quarterback, and then of course he loses connection with the receiver. That'll be coached out of him as well. We've got a special talent, and no, we have you know, nobody spends any time talking about Marcus Williams. You've got a top five free safety in the NFL that we never spend time talking about. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think one of the things that'll be great about Hamilton as an underneath guy is he presents such a huge physical presence that the quarterbacks will be a little bit frightened to throw past him in zone, and he'll have to read where the routes are going the way our inside linebackers have not been able to do the last few years. He'll have to have a kind of a real good understanding spatially of how that's working, but I think he'd be great at that. And a lot of what you're talking about, the problems with him looking in the backfield, go away when he's on the back end of cover three.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it was dependent on the coverage with Notre Dame as well. There was I even mentioned it in my Discord a couple of nights ago to a guy. We were watching Cal Hamilton film together, and I said, look, this coverage here, he's looking at the number two receiver, which is what he should, quote, should be looking at. And then there were times where he was clearly looking in the backfield. So I think they were very multiple with him at Notre Dame. And you do that whenever you have a great player. A great player is capable of doing more.
Okay, so let's get back to Chuck Clark because we really got to talk about this. So we've talked about the various players that have been mentioned as far as the Chuck Clark trade.
Right.
It's hard for me to imagine how these guys all fit, but let's talk about each of them. The Giants have a cornerback they're trying to get rid of. That's Bradbury. He's got a $13.4 million base salary this next year. Overpaid, has a void year after that the Giants will have to pick up. He has another prorated bonus the Giants have to pick up. But with $13.4 million, I don't know how they can expect to trade him. He had an unexceptional coverage year last year.
Last year, right.
So 2 years ago, he was pretty good. In 20, he was good. I don't think the Ravens would really love to pick this guy up. It's another outside corner to add to a stable of a lot of aircraft carriers that they have. Mm-hmm. What the Ravens really lack right now, and I thought they'd go to the veteran market for, is a quality slot corner. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy who has the speed to cover the whip route, the change of direction skills more, what I mean than the speed. Ardarius Washington might be that guy because you really need someone with more change of direction than raw 40 time, which is not his strength. But he might not be also. I mean, he might just not be the only guy they want to be depending on for a year. They might go out and try and find somebody else. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Ardarius Washington showed a lot in camp last year. We were all really excited about him. I don't remember preseason snaps from him, to be honest with you, but I know that he showed a lot of ability. I think as Ravens fans, me personally, we're going to have to retrain our brain a little bit sometimes because I know me, I'm always thinking about man-to-man defense, and Mike McDonald's going to be versatile. So whoever those guys are on the slot corners, like you said, they're going to have to be able to cover guys who can do those shake routes or, you know, I call them China out or China in. People call them whip route, whatever. Same concept. You know, they're going to have to be able to – they're going to play some man. They're clearly going to play some man. Mike McDonald did play some man. He liked cover two a lot. He liked cover two and rush in five, which is going to be difficult to do in the NFL with a lot of the, quote, modern concepts that people do, releasing the back and stuff like that. I would love to see Brandon Stevens get an opportunity, to be honest with you. I thought he showed last year that he had some ability. I think covering Mandem, to me, there's going to be some giveaway sometimes, depending on who's on the field. If it's Stevens, that kind of tells you it's probably zone. You know what I mean? If he's lined up over a receiver.
Yeah, that first of all, that's not good. I don't want that. I don't want to be put in a position where my personnel gives away my man or zone. So we need to stick for a minute or two here with the players that Clark could be traded for.
Bradbury's tough, obviously. I mean, now I did see where Tampa, I looked at the game by game charts. According to, if you trust the data that you get, I always look at Brady and Tampa Bay targeted him 16 times, apparently. Mm-hmm. I guess he was targeted 10 times in week two. I can't remember who the team was that the Giants played. I mean, who watches the Giants? You know, Bradbury apparently has a great reputation, but what's the rationale that they're moving on from him?
I mean, he's a big contract number and they need the space, I think might be the biggest. And if that's the issue, then I don't know that the Ravens are a team that can really help them where the Ravens' position is not that good. Let's talk about the other players involved here and then maybe come back to talk about, hey, what would kind of make sense. Kadarius Toney has been a name mentioned that the Giants are looking to move on from. I'm not exactly sure what the problems are that would lead to this because Kadarius Toney is cheap as hell.
Yes.
1 year into a 4-year deal with a fifth year option. So, you know, a guy who's just drafted last year, didn't have a terrible rookie year by any stretch. And let me bring up his stats here for a minute, but, you know, had a decent catch rate, decent yards per target. It wasn't great, but then, you know, who's throwing him the football is part of the problem.
Yeah, their offense was terrible. I mean, it makes people miss, extremely athletic. You know, I think he provides something that we don't have a ton of, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. We have really talented players. We have playmakers on offense, but who do we have that's going to catch the ball and then make one or two people miss? And Kadarius Toney does that. He had a great game against Dallas last year. I did a video on that maybe 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I think he got thrown out of that game at the end of the game. Cheap salary structure, like you said, very athletic. A guy that you have to have a good defender on if you're playing man. You can't put a bum on a guy like, and you can't put a bum on anybody in the NFL, but Kadarius Toney can make people miss and makes big plays. I would be excited to acquire a guy like that for this offense. They're certainly looking, I think it's obvious, they're looking to acquire someone at receiver. It maybe tells you what our next move is or is not going to be if we go out there and get Bradberry versus Kadarius Toney. It could tell you what's coming or what is not coming in terms of the next personnel move.
I mean, one of the things that it would kind of tell me if they acquire Bradberry is they're not going to have a lot of money left to spend I don't see any way the Giants get out of that entire Bradberry contract as is. I think they'd have to restructure it to eat some of it. Yeah. With Toney, I mean, his salary the next 3 years, $1.29 million, $1.91 million, $2.53 million. I mean, it's cheap as hell. They're not going to trade him without similarly getting value for their already spent prorated bonuses. They'll have to eat about $5.5 million in prorated bonuses if they take that. So to me, that may be the trade that would make sense, is Toney and Bradberry both go for Clark kind of thing. That would be certainly a very big trade. The Ravens, you know, have a need at wide receiver. I still wouldn't be real excited about it, but the Ravens, I guess they have other options at safety that are almost as good.
Yeah. I think the thing that it creates, if you ask me, we would have, and I love Chuck Clark. He's been a great Raven. You know, there's those guys that you think of, you know, 5 years from now, and your brain thinks Chuck Clark's a Raven, even if he does go to the Giants or something. But look, it makes sense for him to go to the Giants. They got Wink Martindale. Chuck knows the system. Chuck would immediately step in. So for the Giants, the value they're getting isn't just Chuck Clark, if you ask me. It just isn't just the player. There's a little bit of an exponential, you know, increase in the value that they get, if you ask me.
I mean, they're getting the defensive captain of the team right away. I mean, that's a big thing to plug in. And you just look at what happened when he took over the green dot in 2019. The defense was transformed. Yep. I mean, they immediately, you saw what happened in week two. A lot of this was with Owosso had the green dot initially, and then Weddle had it briefly, and then they gave it to Jefferson for one game effectively. But the defense really never settled down until Chuck Clark got the green dot, and then they reeled off 12 straight wins.
Unreal, and,
Yeah, it was really special.
We would be losing a lot. Don't get me wrong. I think that there should be some serious. I think it's obvious there is serious consideration that's happening. It's possible they've already even notified Chuck. Hey, we may be moving. I've heard the Eagles as well, but you know the Giants. I think makes the most sense because the Giants are going to be the team that would value Chuck Clark the most. Whether it's Slayton or Toney, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know as much about Slayton as Toney.
Slayton, I would not consider a valuable trade chip at all. First of all, he makes $2.54 million this year, so he's had the same kind of escalators already thrown in there that Ben Powers has for playing time.
Right,
and he hasn't done anything in 3 years. So he last year, in fact, he had less than a 45% catch rate and 5.8 yards per target. That's not something you trade at all for. I mean, you wouldn't want that salary at that level. If the Ravens were going to make that trade, I'd say you trade Ben Powers straight up for him. That's the trade you make.
I like what you said, and it makes total sense to me a couple of minutes ago. You know, Bradberry and Toney. Kind of like if you're the Giants, your sell is, hey, you take this guy off our hands, Bradberry, the high salary, and then we give you this guy as well, the extremely talented portion of it. You know, it's kind of like eating your vegetables and then eating your steak. And, you know, unfortunately, we've got to give up Chuck. Under no circumstance would I want to be the team that gives up a pick. And I don't think that's probably been discussed at all. I would love to see a talent like Kadarius Toney, though. I mean, you know, having said that, we would love for Duvernay to get more opportunities to touch the ball. We would love for Tyler Wallace and James Prochet. It would be unfortunate if we go out there and get a guy, you know, who is another playmaker. It still kind of keeps those guys in the same spot in the depth chart they were last year anyway.
Right. Yeah, it should be an opportunity for those guys this year. And, mm-hmm. and the Ravens are at a point where they need to find out what they have. In fact, they're really past that point, honestly. Yes. But it would be good if they found out this year. Prochet is a third-year player, isn't he?
Third year, yep. Yeah, Duve second are both in the same year, right? Both entering their third year.
Yeah, that's right. So that's not. It's already too late, honestly, to find out what those guys are. If you find out mm-hmm. early in a player's third year, like with Chuck Clark, you can re-sign him to a long-term deal that year.
Right.
But I just don't expect him to have that kind of an immediate impact that the Ravens will know right away. Yeah, this is a guy we want to keep.
Yeah, I think of it, and I mention it sometimes like a ladder, and you know we've removed one of the rungs, we've removed one of the steps. Marquise Brown, you know, you can talk about. For semantics purposes, if you want to say he was the second rung or the third rung behind Bateman, whatever you want to say, we've removed one of those rungs. Somebody's got to replace it. Duvernay, Prochet, Wallace, could they move up a rung? Yeah, the problem is Kadarius Toney is not going to be the sixth. Talent-wise, he's not going to be the number six guy in that rung.
Just no, he moves in at the top.
Talent. Yeah, and we've got receiving talent. Yeah. Sorry, Ken. We got receiving talent like Kohler and Isaiah Likely coming in too. So there's a lot of talent. It's a good problem to have, right? It's a better mm-hmm. problem to have than we had in the last, you know, 6-8 weeks of the 2021 season, certainly.
All right. Well, we'll see how this works out. Obviously, neither of us too excited about getting rid of Chuck Clark. I still think there's a lot of value to derive from having him for the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. One of the things that seems to have happened is Twitter. He's changed some things about his Twitter profile page.
Yeah.
That are a little bothersome. So something may already be being discussed here.
Seems like it is. It seems like that's what's happening. And I don't pretend to be familiar with it, but I'm quite sure with the Ravens organization and how professional they are that they would let someone like Chuck Clark know that they're not just going to let him know, hey, we just traded you. That there's going to be. And now, granted, at least it's in the I-95 corridor. So Chuck Clark doesn't have to move to like, you know, Chicago or something like that.
Well, it'd be moving to New York, so it's a big change. But anyway, I agree they probably would let him know that they're having those discussions. Chuck Clark probably has had discussions since the draft occurred, obviously, mm-hmm. about, hey, you know, what's my future? You'd want to know that. Anybody in a business environment ever had somebody, you know, 10 years younger and talented come in working next to them,
right?
You know, that gets hired in. You want to know what your future is all of a sudden. Yep. I mean, you know, it's just natural.
I'm quite sure they gave him that courtesy and level of professionalism. And that could be, you know, where the tweet this evening or earlier, you know, Friday night came from.
Hopefully, yeah, this is important. We're recording this Saturday morning at 1:30 in the morning right now. So we're on top of the news, sort of, but we may also be behind it because,
yes.
You know, by the time this gets out there, what we've talked about is that if this doesn't make it, makes it and then it becomes old news too quickly, we'll do another show quickly to analyze the trade that was made.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Coach, great having you on the show. Tell folks where they can find your work.
Well, I'm on YouTube and I'm on Twitter, all 22 films on YouTube. My Twitter handle is a little bit different because I created it for my initial YouTube channel, which the name has since changed. But that's the two places you can find me right now. I don't really see any benefit in other social media platforms at this time. So appreciate you guys letting me come on the show and give a little
shout
out.
One more time. It's at all 22 films or what is it?
At all 22 films. Yep.
Okay. Terrific. All right, Coach, great having you on. Other people out there, if you're looking to be on a film study short, I'd love to have you. This is kind of open mic time of the year. So if you want to talk about a particular topic or you have a passion for it, analytics in particular, but if it's just a roster building or a other scheme thing you want to describe, I'm happy to talk to you. Hit me up at the DM on Twitter. They're always open. Coach, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, man, thank you. It was a good time. Appreciate it. I'm a late night person too, so this worked perfect, Ken. You guys do a great job, too. Thank you. You're really, you know, really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time on Film Study. All right, man.